even though I'm not much of a mathematician, I do know that the words plus and equals are typically surrounded by numbers, as in 1 plus 1 equals 2. But it doesn't stop there. The whiteboards in our classrooms following one of the math, geometry, calculus classes might illustrate that the words or the signals, the signs, plus and equals, can also be surrounded by a variety of other symbols, such as letters from the Greek alphabet. I should be able to get away, therefore, this morning, with surrounding those familiar symbols with full-fledged words. Now I realize this is going to strike your ears as very cumbersome, but here goes. The knowledge of the one who is identified on a certain locker room wall, plus the knowledge of one who is named on a certain altar in a church, equals eternal life. Of course, our Lord said that much more succinctly as he spoke to the Heavenly Father during his high priestly prayer recorded for us in John 17, where he says very simply, "This is," there's the equal sign, "this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and, plus, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Let's start with the locker room wall that I mentioned. If you haven't recently been in the locker room, which is on this side of the building, which serves as the accommodations for teams when they come as guests, let me let you in on a recent addition. Somebody rather recently apparently decided that it would be a good idea, and it was, to welcome visitors to Emmanuel with something substantial, namely, a set of words which reveals one of the fundamental beliefs of Christians, that is, that a great and glorious God exists who is the creator, owner, and preserver of all things. Painted on the back wall now, in a way that can't possibly be missed, are the words, "Our house is his house." And I'd be surprised if anyone entering the room now would have difficulty identifying the person who is referred to, for the word "his" is written in letters that are much larger than the letters of the words which surround it. Presented in such a bold fashion, the pronoun clearly refers to God, and the sentence serves as a statement not only to his existence, but also about his presence in the lives of his people. And as such, it conforms to some of the directives that are found in the book of Psalms, which speak of declaring his name to others. Psalm 34, "O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." Psalm 96, "Sing to the Lord. Bless his name." Putting the pronoun "his" right out there in such a prominent fashion is a fine way to let guests know that they are on one of the Lord's campuses, where his presence and his power and his purpose are known. And after I saw the word there, I was reminded of another use of the same set of letters, which are found in another place with which we are familiar. An altered arrangement of those very same letters serve to greet guests and members alike when they go to Messiah. There in the sanctuary, just beneath the towering cross, front and center, are the letters IHS, which, if I can do this without tearing it, is easily achieved by simply moving that cross beam to that spot there. The letters IHS have been used in the Christian church for centuries, and the thought behind their use, the intent, is to help a person focus on the center of the Christian faith, Jesus. What do the letters IHS have to do with Jesus? They are the first three letters of his name when it is spelled using capital Greek letters. The I corresponds to RJ. What looks to us like a capital H is a capital eta, the longer E sound in Greek, and the anglicized S functions in the same way in English as it does in Greek. Simply put, IHS is Greek for J-E-S, which is an abbreviation for Jesus, who is the heart and center of Christianity. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, "I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And so the church has been interested in developing ways that can assist the worshiper and the believer in remembering that Jesus is the center of the faith, and that without Him, everything falls apart. Now, it might be argued, perhaps successfully, that the use of some capital Greek letters of the alphabet does not say much about Jesus to the modern American eye. On the other hand, once the meaning is known, it too can become a cherished emblem representing Jesus, even as we come to appreciate and cherish the symbol of the fish or of the Trinitarian triangle. What's more, such a symbol may serve as a useful springboard for the opportunity to share the message of Christ. If a visitor or guest should walk into such a building and see the IHS and ask, "What's that all about?" it provides the opportunity to explain that Jesus is the heart of Christianity, that without Him, nothing is of use or of value, and without Him, eternal life cannot be attained. The very point emphasized by the Savior in our text. "This is eternal life," He said, "that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." 1 + 1 = true life. The knowledge of God plus the knowledge of the one whom He sent to pay for our sins, that equals salvation. The same Apostle John who quotes Jesus' prayer also wrote in his first epistle, "This is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know what you have, know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." The knowledge of the one true God plus the knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ, equals eternal life. But aren't there three persons in the Trinity? What about the Holy Spirit? Focusing on the Father and the Son, as Jesus did in our text, does not shortchange the Holy Spirit. For the very work of the Spirit is to highlight the Son, and the Holy Spirit is honored wherever the Son is believed, because the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to believe and gives us this saving knowledge. In the chapter just before our text, Jesus said, "When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you." And how that Spirit is needed. In these last days of the world's existence, the devil appears to become all the more successful at blinding people to even some of the most basic of beliefs, namely that God is real, that God exists. The activities of atheistic groups are becoming increasingly prominent and vocal in the headlines of the news. So it is important for people to present others with the reality of God's existence, His presence, His power, with such things as the announcement that our house is His house. It is then important to point out that the one true God can be properly known and understood only through the knowledge of His Son, IHS, Jesus. So, when talking one and one, keep 1 + 1 in mind. Tell others about the one true God plus the one Savior, Jesus Christ, in order that they might be saved too. Our hymn, which speaks of the name of the Lord Jesus, is 114, stanzas 1 and 3. Stanzas 1 and 3 of hymn 114.